Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win.
Yes. Back in the bunker. Two fucking good results, two good performances. Lots to shout on about as ever. So how are we all feeling as we head into this crunch game against Dortmund? Our hopes of Champions League hinge on us getting past Dortmund and obviously then winning the next couple of games and winning the Europa League. We fucking battered the arse off Stoke at the weekend. Great to see Sparky's putting his place as well on the sideline. Lots of goals. Origi is just banging them in. Top man. And Sturridge was scoring as well. And then we had Ojo and his little bit of an assist. Fucking great. Ah, it's great being a Liverpool fan these days. Forget all that negativity bollocks that we had Nilo in last week. He'd be cracking up now, still off the smokes, going mentlers. But Jesus, isn't it just great to see good results and wins and goals and everything coming together lovely. Despite like the fucking abomination skirtle at the back and falling over about 5 fucking million times, but like we can forget about those things when we're winning. Anyway, in tonight we're going to talk about the two games that was the game coming up, obviously the Dortmund match, whoever the fuck we're playing the weekend, no bleeding idea at this stage. I'll ask one of the lads later on, and then where we'll go to after that. We'll do some trippers chats as ever. So in tonight we've got Andy and Steve-O, and we've also got Dave back in as well. All right then, lads, let's get the show on the road. So, everything's deadly.
Yay.
That's grand. On to trippers chats. Right, so Andy, where do we start? How about we start with the wank fest that was You Never Walk Alone?
Oh, what a bag of shit.
No, all you thought was amazing.
Did you?
Yeah, I was crying and all.
A few little tears, man.
Yeah, I was crying. I'm still crying.
I can see your eyes look teary.
Yeah.
Were you just listening to it in the car on the way over?
I actually listen to You Never Walk Alone in the car everywhere I go. Just on repeat. Sometimes I go the long way.
Is it your ringtone on your phone as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your house phone.
What part of it?
The whole lot. I just listen to the whole lot.
Right from start.
So like, if I'm going to work and it's not, the song's not over,
yeah,
I'll just pull in. Wait till it finishes.
So it doesn't matter whose house is burning.
I hear Bill Clinton played that You'll Never Walk Alone on the day of the Good Friday Agreement.
Yeah.
that's what broke the deadlock.
That's what everyone was alright with.
Do you listen to the Jerry Marsden version, or do you actually like, do you ever go to matches and just record the crowd because they're so amazing at singing?
Sometimes I record myself singing it and then just listen back.
Because you couldn't WhatsApp that
more
to me,
emotional that way.
Would you WhatsApp that?
No problem. Yeah.
Cheers, pal.
Yeah. Was it the electric guitar that made it for you? I actually, that to me.
Yeah, it's a different
element.
It's a different version. Like, do you remember when Liverpool played Celtic in Celtic Park, and that was a deadly one.
Yeah,
but like they were singing it the same.
Yeah,
this was like, it's totally different. It was, wasn't it? Like a different pace.
Song.
Yeah.
This was like, you know that.
They don't say You Never Walk Alone in German accents.
No.
The same.
If you watch the TV show The Voice, there's a round in it, right, where they have like a sing off.
Yeah.
And they end up just screaming at the same song, but screaming at each other. Yeah. That's what it was like. Yeah. It was like, no, you never walk alone. You. I love you more. You're better fans.
So,
but there's people on, like, I could understand if you were there in the ground, I could understand getting swept up being emotional.
Yeah.
But to be
watching it on telly saying they're at home crying, it just means you're a prick.
It's absolutely mental.
Sometimes when I see these things on Twitter, like, I wonder how is old is that person?
Or are they just on a wind up? Are they on a brilliant wind up?
But
I thought that the other night when I was looking at it, and I thought, is that someone on an absolutely brilliant wind up? And then I just went, nope, they're a prick.
It's not a wind up. It's not true. I often think this can only be
a 12-year-old, like, you know.
Girl.
It's not, though. I bet it's not.
It's not. It's a 42-year-old man.
With a
sock on his knob.
We're going full on slating him because of the, you know, the other end of things.
Deserves every bit of it.
And oh, it was pretty good, like pretty impressive.
Fuck off.
And it's going to be even more impressive tomorrow night.
I hope to do it.
Yeah. So, is that the practice for Thursday
night?
Do
you want the Jerry Marsden version or do you want the electric guitar version again?
Back to Jerry.
Come here, why are they singing it tomorrow night?
What?
Why are they singing it tomorrow night? Just to get ready for Thursday.
Yeah.
So listen, we're going to get 43,000 people in the practice.
I don't know what day it is.
We want to get this really right on Thursday. So can everybody drop over on Wednesday night and we do a run through?
Yeah. You know the bus.
All the German
Shut
fans.
Shut the fuck up.
All the German fans. Listen, you shouldn't come over a day early with you. We're just going to run through it a couple of times. Make sure we're all in sync.
It's a good joke, stay away. Good joke.
Right on.
High five, yeah.
This is the crack.
For sure.
The bus thing is going to be gone again.
Welcoming the bus in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Flair. Well, they're doing a Hillsborough thing tomorrow, see, aren't they?
Oh, Thursday. Yeah.
They're practicing. Because it's the eve of the setup. So apparently there's a Dortmund tribute. And then
is this the final one? This year was
the final memorial service.
Yeah.
Aguero missed the penalty. Keep it here, folks, for the live
the live updates.
That will be hours old when you listen to this. Yeah.
Okay, look, after the two games, I suppose we'll take them as a duo. Obviously, we had the result in Dortmund, the 1-1 draw, and then we had the arse-thumping win against Stoke. So, lads, lots of positives across the two games.
Arse-thumping?
Yeah,
we thumped the arse off them.
Okay.
Just to clear that up.
Back to the bollocks, yeah.
Knock the bollocks off them
by ass thumping them.
Right. Okay. We thumped them so hard in the arse that their bollocks fell off.
Okay.
All right. So, where do you want to start, Andy?
Where do I want to start?
Yeah, where would you like to start?
With Torre playing as a kind of libero defender.
Yeah.
I thought that was fucking pretty cool, actually.
Did you like it, yeah?
Yeah, he spent more time in their half than he did. Yeah.
It was like the old Colo of Arsenal, wasn't it? Like when he just used to piss off. He said, listen, lads, you mind it back here with you? I'm just mopping up for a while and just.
But what's funny about Colo doing that is if he gets 60 yards from goal, the whole crowd goes, sure! It's like, let him get a bit closer.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the play ball in the opposition's half, a lot of defenders get a bit of a nosebleed.
We see him when
Lovren goes into the opposition's half, like sometimes he panics and, you know, obviously that. I think he has that ability in him, but he needs like a bit of confidence for a couple of them to come off. But of all of our centre halves, he's probably the best ball player in the opposition's half.
Yeah,
and like it's very damaging when a defender goes forward
Sacco
like that.
Sacco fans weren't like that.
Well,
Team Sacco.
I think like
he's very ungainly, Sacco.
No, you're 100% right. You're 100% right.
He looks awkward.
He's very unorthodox.
Very unorthodox, Sacco. Yeah.
Thanks, so, thanks Gary Lineker.
But I know, like, just the ball he played in behind from Moreno, I'm just not sure that Sacco has that sort of pass in him. Mm. You know, very calm, so.
Yeah. Steve-O, the two centre-backs against Dortmund did very well.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very, very good performance against a team that scored, 115 goals already
in
this season?
In their last game, yeah.
Against a team with that much firepower, you're looking at a team the equivalent in terms of the goals that they're scoring. In fact, probably better than what Suarez and Sturridge and Sterling were like when they had that front three in 13-14. And no one was stopping us at that time. Any team that did put up a great performance. That's the only way you could stop us. And I think on the night, we took the game to them.
Mm.
Look at the second half. You know, we have those fucking three shot, two from Coutinho and one from, I'm trying to remember who else the other person was, but, you know, that 3 or 4 minute period where we should have went 2-1 up. Mm. And we never really looked, apart from the corner that they scored from, we never really looked like in big danger.
There was a couple of blocks early in the first half. I think Sacco got one and Lovren got another one.
Yeah, but that's what you're expecting from a good defender, to be in a position to be able to get that block in and stop the keeper having to do any work. Mm. And ultimately, you can't fault any of the defence on the night, personally.
In the Dortmund game, because we'll talk about the return in a bit, but it was a classic European performance.
the way European performance, classical way,
very Rafa-esque.
Very Rafa, yeah.
Reminds me of 2005. Yeah.
I thought there was a hint of pace there. Yeah, because we went at the fourth game.
Arhulier versus Roma away.
No.
But in fairness, we seemed to weather the first 20 minutes well, because their midfield was in total command at that stage.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it wasn't very comfortable watching it for the first 30 minutes. I thought because they did move us all over the place, you know, and the midfield didn't quite gel. But I mean, I think I'm not saying Lovren and Sacco are, you know, necessarily the future for us, but what I think they've done very well recently is stop teams coming down the middle at us. So, like, I can't remember the last time we were, you know, back under Rodgers, we were getting cut open all the time. Yeah. And part of that is because our midfield functions better, but also is because Sacco and Lovren are proactive defenders. And not to move on to the Stoke game, but you do see the difference, you know. Like this, if you go actually on Twitter, you see like still frames and people going, "Where are Skrtel and Torre?" They're like 15 yards deeper than the whereas Lovren and Sacco don't play like that. So they're aggressive, they're proactive, and not going to come off all the time. But I thought we handled Dortmund really well. The big thing that we did, which I think we've done against the bigger teams, is we worked harder than them. You know, we ran ourselves into the ground, and you know that's always helpful then for defenses when the people in front of you are working hard.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's magic that he was able to go and make the changes on Sunday then. Mm. You know, and bring in so many different players. Yeah. We're not saying rested top players, because
can you imagine what 7 changes would have done to the team 2 years ago?
Yeah. Like massive upheaval.
Pascal would be playing.
No one talking about 2 years ago I was in Suarez, Sturridge, Sterling.
Yeah, but look who came into the team. Firmino, fucking Sturridge. You know what I mean? Like you're looking at those. Even Joe Allen, who lots of people have been calling for a start, came into the And absolutely quality. Has been very, very
strong.
I just
think against Dortmund, Klopp out-tacticked them.
Out-tacticked them?
He did.
Because the first 20 minutes, I think it was so tight, and I was like going, this is brilliant. Like, this isn't us, and we're well capable, very organised, and didn't let them play between the lines. And every time one of the deeper midfielders kind of pressed and advanced, the defenders stood up a bit more and kept it very compact. Then there was a lapse where the ball went over the top behind Moreno, behind Klein. Not his fault or anything like that. This happens when you're playing against a skillful team. Good, clever runs, good football. And then it just went tits up for ages. Mm. Like, it was panic. And then there was the injury for a while, which Liverpool needed, because it really, really settled things down again. And Liverpool were out again, a bit more control. Yeah. So it only for that sort of thing. But I think that'll come in time. Like, the team didn't really know how to respond to how bad they were being threatened then. Mm-hmm. And then in the second half, they came out and played totally different, because for the whole first half, they sat deep. And in the second half, they were open team. Up. And this was like going in at halftime 1-0.
Yeah.
Or going in at halftime 1-0. Then you can imagine the type of team talk. And then they concede a nearly goal. And he's still going...
The heads didn't drop. It wasn't the case, because you were looking at that goal going in on 46 minutes or whatever it was, and you're going, fuck, this could be
you would have thought like that the obvious thing would be to retreat
and say
hopefully keep it tight like the first half and not concede again. But instead they took the game to them, and as I said, they were out of tactics. They didn't really know what to do.
The tacticality of it was very strong.
Klopp's very familiar with them. They're less familiar with us.
And
hopefully that works to Liverpool's advantage
in the practice match.
I think it's been a long time since we were outplayed. Second half against Southampton is an anomaly. Last kind of 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And we've played good teams. I mean, we should have beaten Tottenham. We should have beaten Southampton. I mean, we should have been 4-0 up going in at half time. Should have beat United 4-0. We should have, you know what I mean? I can't remember where we've turned in a performance that didn't have that intensity. I do think it's coming through the squad.
But there's one player really that bridges the two games brilliantly. And like, we have to talk about him. Origi, he seems to have arrived in terms of what he's doing. Like, to get the start against Dortmund and to handle it the way he did, and then get a scaldy goal the way he did, which was brilliant, right? Like, you know, as Paul Brennan says, he loves seeing a deflection off a striker shot that goes into the back of net. It's a sign of a fella who's going to score goals for you. And then his impact and his arrival when he comes on the pitch against Stoke on Sunday, it's fucking brilliant. Like, we're looking at a kid who's only 20, just turned 20, and he's putting in such mature performances. And he just has everything. Like, when we think, like, I think it was Paul said, no, it wasn't, it was somebody else said it, and I can't remember because it was Sunday. But, like, he said, this is the striker that we imagined we were signing in terms of Benteke. You know, powerful, fucking winning headers, holding the ball up, linking play, and capable of doing that bit of magic. It's just great, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, when I first kind of set my eyes on him, I was thinking, oh, what? Like, what's this fella about? Like,
just as Klopp took over as well, yeah.
Then you read on Twitter and, you know, a few people are saying, oh, wait till you see him when he's playing. He's a bit more used to playing out wide. And, of course, like, the cynic and so he's just going, no. It doesn't look like there's anything about this fella at all. But
another 10 million wasted.
Yeah, well, but there's nothing better than being proven wrong when it comes to football and it comes to your own team and someone starts performing like that. Now I just can't see anything wrong with him. He's no weaknesses. He's quality, like. Mm. And
we've seen it for the last
while. The attitude from him and everything.
Yeah, since he came back from his last injury, he was being brought on for Sturridge to change the way we played and get in behind teams towards the end. And just his ability to do what was asked of him was huge, but he didn't have that goal threat. And now he's at, like, okay, listen, we can't go over the top about it, even though Andy just has.
he
has absolutely, I physically cannot see a weakness in him. He is the most amazing player ever. No, but in all seriousness, like, he could not score again for the rest of the season.
No, well, he's the complete type of striker.
But if you were building a striker, he'd have
eventually he arrives at his peak.
Yeah.
It looks like he has every attribute.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I'm just taking the piss.
He's a torn of pace. But he's got that strength, the attitude.
Like, yeah, I used to say about Lovren, if you were building a centre half, right, apart from his brain, Lovren is what it would look like.
Yeah. He kind of is like that robot at the back.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. No, absolutely. And I think just if he can keep on developing, he's credited Klopp to really changing how he plays and what he does. Klopp said during his injury, he took a lot of time to work on his strength, his physical strength. And he said he needed to get a whole new kit because the shit that he was wearing didn't fit him anymore.
Muscle,
yeah. So it's a huge
shitload of muscle.
Yeah, it's a lot of fucking muscle. You know what I mean? So, fair play to the young lad. He's come in, he's got a chance, and he's fucking taken
it. Now, all that said, he should still go into next season as our third choice striker. As good as he is, right? And what I'm talking about here is up leveling the whole squad, because what you should be doing is
who'd be the second choice?
Sturridge. He's talking about,
and then you buy someone.
You buy a top. I don't think that's going to happen now.
Or
I'm not sure it is.
You buy another Firmino who can play.
I think that's what he sees, like, in Gota.
But they like that Dembele guy as well.
Yeah,
the young Ousmane Dembele.
Yeah, I could see us going with having Gota, Firmino, Sturridge and Origi.
See, I don't see Sturridge ever being our second choice striker.
He'll only be second
choice. We talked about it last time on the pod. It's almost like you build a squad and then you add Sturridge on, because you can't really rely on him to have a 38 game season. So he can't be a number one. But I know what you mean. He's not going to be number two if he's fit.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's more like, forget Sturridge exists, build the squad. Which means we need another striker.
Well, let's hang on. Let's go there.
Hang on, it's not your show.
It is. End of.
Hang on a second. Are you trying to put some structure on this?
But let's go there with Sturridge, because Sunday was arguably his best game in 7 or 8 months. He looked
since Southampton.
Yeah,
in the cup.
Mm. But, like, in terms of, you know, a full pace again, he seemed to be able to sprint again. It looked like he took the mental shackles off himself in terms of, he was able to get it. He wasn't fearing that he was going to do another injury or something like that on the pitch. And it was almost that by starting Origi against Dortmund, it was finally to kick up the hole that he needed himself to kick start.
He's looked very sulky coming off every single time. Like, it's a fucking face and I'm like a slapped arse, you know, which it just is him. That's just him. And he's been like that when we've won 3-0 and he hasn't got a goal sometimes coming off the pitch. You know, that's just
his way.
He might be feeling that way on the inside. He could be absolutely fine.
It's no coincidence.
Looks like a moany cunt.
It's no coincidence that fans have never really taken to him fully. Like, although when he's scoring and he's in form, everyone loves him.
Yeah.
But I think,
except Cole.
I think it doesn't take.
Cole has taken to him in a big way.
Yeah. But it doesn't take much for people to turn on him. He has that thing about him, and it is the body language. It's the.
But do you know what's funny, right? Do you know what's funny? Jared, right? Whenever Jared was subbed, and it didn't happen very often in his career, but he had a fucking hissy fit walking off the pitch. Jared did. So,
yeah, he did.
You know, you don't want someone skipping off, like, you know?
But, like, again, Again, like when you look at it though, he's taking his goal incredibly well. He just looks like he's back.
Yeah, he has, and he's peeled away to and you know what, you have to give Ojo credit, because we haven't had a player capable of putting in that dangerous type cross all season. We really haven't, you know. I know Milner's actually got a few. Milner has, as much as we slag him, he's got a few crosses in that we've scored from this season. But in terms of Ibe or Lallana or, you know, even Firmino, Coutinho, it doesn't matter. They haven't got into those dangerous positions where they then clip it beyond the keeper for somebody to arrive. And that comes from two places. Number one, our strikers haven't been making that movement to do that. And the delivery has been absolutely poison. And it was so nice.
It's all composure.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Like, you know, especially a kid of his, I'm sold on him.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm sick of Ibe now. I don't want to see another Ibe. I don't want to play for Liverpool.
I think he's gone. I mean,
you don't want to see Ibe play for Liverpool again?
I don't want to. I'm finished with him. Like,
why?
What?
Why?
Because I think he's shy.
I know exactly where you're coming from. That I've been fucking saying that all season, that his end product was absolutely terrible, and everybody talking about him being the next Sterling was ridiculous.
Yeah. I just think at this stage, he could
be going through a bad phase. Like,
at this stage, we've seen enough. We've seen every element of Ibe.
I don't know if we have yet. Personally, I'm not ready to. Like, if he's gone in the.
He's not going to fucking. Real football with the type of player he has.
I know what you're saying.
He's a one trick pony.
He's a middle table side. He could go to like a Watford.
I think he could probably have a career in the Premier League.
He's a Wilfred Zaha.
But like he will be, I'd say, that type of club jumper. Like, you know.
Yeah, moves for 5 million quid
it's
every couple of
years.
It's mad
how he's gone though from like one of Klopp's like.
Trusted ones.
Well, he put
an arm around him and he performed. He worked well and everything else.
Well, he's been injured as well. Like,
he deleted all his Liverpool stuff as well off his social media.
We heard that,
but who knows?
You know,
I don't blame him.
To me now,
yeah.
To me, it should be Ojo that's getting all the chances now. I think he's got far more about him. Like, he's just like that composure in that position. You know, most young not strikers, wingers, when they get into that position, they probably flash it across, like. It's the non-risky the safety, kind of ball.
I don't know, but
if he tries to clip that across, and it's hung up in the air, and the keeper just comes out and catches it, it's an embarrassment.
Yeah.
Or like a defender just nods it away. Whereas you flash it across, nobody can say anything. Like, you're putting a dangerous ball. If it hits anything, it can go in.
Yeah.
But instead, he had a look up.
He knew Sturridge was arriving.
There was somebody else arriving as well, and he knew that I'll just knock it in here. I'll aim for him.
There's a mentality thing though about Ojo. And look, we got to be careful, but there is a mentality thing about Ojo that I've never had, right? Which is his decision making is good.
Yeah.
Like, he beats Shaqiri for pace.
Yeah.
But like, for him to just knock it around and go the other side, I would never do that.
Yeah.
No.
And he plays his head up.
And that's the point I'm trying to make. He's reading the game as he's doing it, and he doesn't just whack it into the box. He picks Sturridge up.
I think half the problem with Ibe right the way through, and it's where he got found out at the top level, was that he was your typical underage player. You know, he was bigger, faster, stronger than all the people around him at underage level. So he stood out, and people were going, he's the next great thing, and people looking at him in the academies and stuff like that and saying, yeah, he can really go on. But, you know, you come up against, you know, unless you're bigger, faster, stronger, times three to what Ibe is now. Mm. He's not good enough to get past a top level Premiership defender, and he never proved it. Like, we watched him game after game after game. It was so easy to see what he's going to do. He's going to run it out play.
He shows the defender.
And he's always going to go on.
He shows the defender way too much ball.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Listen, Ojo could turn out to be crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Well.
And that's what I'm saying. My initial thing about Ojo was,
yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And the same way when you're seeing Sterling at the start.
Or
any kind of young player that comes in and they hit the ground running, they impress straight away.
Even Pacheco, when we've seen him. Pacheco? Where the fuck did I get Pacheco from? Danny Pacheco was in my head. No. fucking Teixeira, I meant to say.
Yeah,
Teixeira. And when we've seen him this season, okay, he's not a kid. He's 24, whatever he is, 32. But you know what I mean? He's been very composed and looks good on the ball.
I think when you're good enough, you don't fail to impress.
Yeah,
like in your fourth season, okay, you're not going to be
lighting up
the shit every game, but you certainly have this thing where people sort of stand up and go, "Whoa, hang on a second."
I think
Teixeira does that.
Yeah.
I think like Stewart's game as well.
That's what I wanted to come on to. Stewart, like, again, we've talked about Ojo, but Stewart coming in the way he did, when it would have been easier for Klopp to just put Lucas back into the team and go for the safe option.
That That's the best thing Klopp's done since he's been here.
Probably, yeah.
It's not right put Lucas back in.
And it's not something directly at Lucas. For me, it's actually more so the fact that he's looking beyond
it's
the summer.
Lucas and Stewart both have come back from injury, right? Yeah. So, I mean, both of them, it's not like Stewart was fit and Lucas wasn't or anything like that. But it's about recognising, A, that Lucas has no future at the club, so why play him? Mm. You know, where Stewart does have a future at the club. But also, Stewart did a better job. But
I think Lucas could have an important role on Thursday.
Yeah, he played well.
Yeah. To come on. Yeah.
After 65 minutes.
I don't know. Yeah, I know what you mean, but
if you need a fifth man at the back defending the lead, stick Lucas in front of them and then play it all around.
I know what you mean. The same reason why
you're scared shitless of him giving away a free kick and Mkhitaryan pinging it.
The abomination comes out and just tell him stupid, and then falls over in defending the set piece. So like again, I think Stewart, for a guy who originally was a right back and has come through most of the youth football as a right back, the way he's adapted to playing as a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, but you know what's even better, right? Is that if you actually watch the first 10 minutes of it, he was pretty poor.
Yeah.
Actually,
gets
caught in possession, gives away an easy pass, gives away another easy pass. Yeah. And then he did this, like, Cruyff turn or whatever. He showed the midfielder the whole crowd, and that was it. He never looked back after that. He was pinging past his first time.
What was your man that was playing in the middle for Stoke?
Danny Pacheco.
Mbeula.
He was very good.
Ty's very impressive. Was it him that was up Stewart's arse when he turned him?
Mbeula is good. You know what I mean? He's an 18
Stoke
million.
Stoke above us.
Yeah,
they're a good side.
They were, he's an 18 million quid signing from Porto. It's not like they just plucked him out of the French second.
He was the best.
He's not N'Golo Kante, you know.
But I think, again, going back to it, like, it's just so much positives that have come out of the two games. To see two players that have come through. I know Stewart was signed from the Tottenham Academy or whatever, but to see us bring true players from our own.
Yeah, but listen, that's like saying Dele Alli. You know, they're all signed from academies, these days.
You know, in terms of Ojo as well, to see them come in and step up and do a job.
Well, the big thing for me is, you know, as we look forward to next season, I mean, we're linked to fucking every midfielder in the world and all these different players. So you've got to figure that we're going to sign midfielders and attackers. I'd much rather our second tier guys, you know, the guys coming off the bench or playing in a Carling Cup, are the likes of Ojo and Stewart and Branigan and, you know, Flanagan and these guys, rather than the same old dross just getting
Skirtle and Lucas picking up their 20 games a season.
Exactly. You know, so for me, that's the bit that I think Klopp has done really well, is bridge the gap between the academy and the first team. He's played a lot of the academy guys through choice in the cup competitions. And for him to pick Stewart and Ojo in this game over Iber Lucas, I thought that was a really big thing.
Mm. Quickly go through your goals. So Moreno, lads, he'd been started before the fucking strike.
Yeah. It was a great strike. You got to wonder what the fucking keeper was at. I thought he was...
I was watching it back going, we finally found a goalkeeper worse than me.
Because Villa's the fella that played against Villa. Fucker that was in against us for the 6-1 or whatever. He was abysmal.
I think this guy was worse. He jumped out of the way of things.
I mean,
it was ridiculous.
Yeah, they're both not goalkeepers.
I mean, Moreno's shot he should save.
Yeah.
99 times out of 100. I mean, that's a relatively straightforward save.
Origi's
what the fuck
wonderful,
is
wasn't it?
What's the goalkeeper doing?
I loved the way Klopp came out and went, no, it absolutely was not a cross. The crossiest goal I've seen in a long time. But
you see story just wanting to get on the end of it.
Absolutely,
it was a dangerous free kick where it goes in far. The keeper's like,
and you have to be careful because Sturridge is there, and it's Sturridge's run, and that's what you haven't seen enough of from Sturridge as well. But he did at the weekend.
But also Origi beats his man. He's doing stepovers and everything, and that's watching the goal back.
Yeah,
the finish is lucky.
He has,
but the confidence to go at the full. Yeah.
That's the difference between say him and Oliver, right? Yeah. So he has the defender in his pocket.
Yeah,
his head is up. He doesn't show near enough of the ball to the defender to make a little challenge.
Yeah,
he just can't see probes and probes and probes, and then he's quick enough to take it away, and then he puts in that dangerous ball. That's the difference. Like, that's the difference in a player. Like, I like to watch Martial for United. I think he looks like...
Yeah, he's similar to that. That's what he reminds
coming
me.
Coming in off the flank, he's similar that way. You're looking at him, and when he did it, he's doing it against us, you're going, this fucking bastard is dangerous. Yeah. Anything can happen here. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, when you get into that position and you whip it towards the back post, it's every chance it's
like Martial, you can't knock him off the ball because he's big and strong. Yeah. I mean, he's big and strong now. I mean, and you said earlier, like, that's what we thought we were signing in Benteke. And the frustration with Benteke is he actually has all the same attributes. Mm. He's pretty quick. He's very strong.
Yeah, he's bigger and stronger than Origi.
He should be able
to
be doing what Origi did there. Yeah. Why doesn't he ever do it?
I don't think he's as skillful. I don't think that's...
No, he's probably not, but still, anyway, listen, we'll only end up turning this
Benteke
into a 20-minute
chat. If you look at Benteke in the ball, he seems to be constantly looking down at it to try and keep control of it. Do you notice that? Like,
lads are always looking up.
The speed of thought in the head. Like, you know what I mean?
And look, just to close out the... We briefly mentioned him, but Joe Allen.
Excellent.
Yeah, brilliant.
Excellent. And the fact that he was taken off after, what,
65 minutes,
yeah. He'll play Thursday, or you would think so. And so would
Henderson's bollocks, isn't he? So,
yeah. So you're looking at Alan Chan, probably Coutinho.
No harm for Henderson now at this stage.
Oh, sorry, Milner. I forgot about Milner there, yeah.
He was struggling
because Milner
lot,
was very good as well.
Yeah, he was actually at the beginning.
No, he wasn't.
He fell over 756 times.
7 goals
and 9 assists this season. You can't argue with that.
I can, yeah, because he falls over 756 times again.
No.
I can't deal with it.
You can't.
He randomly falls over. He's standing.
He has a very heavy head. I'm not saying he should be starting.
I'm not saying he should be starting
next season, but
there isn't a hope in hell that Klopp gets rid of
Milner. No, there isn't.
He has had a good four season for Liverpool.
I agree.
He hasn't had a brilliant one, but he hasn't had a bad one either.
Like, he did start off great, but sure, no one was playing well at the start of the season under Rodgers.
It's the first time I've seen Dave in a while. Adam Lallana lately, not just at the weekend or not just at... I'm so happy to be saying that, you know, he's finally... I'm not going to say I was wrong because we had a terrible first season of him, or a pretty poor first season, but the way he's turned it around in the last 3-4 months has been huge, and it's testament to the bloke.
Well, as I said to you, I told you it was only going to take 2 years and a different manager.
Yeah, you did.
That's all it takes.
I think the big thing for Lallana is that he's now got a manager who understands where he's going to get the best out of Lallana. He's not trying to shoehorn him out onto the wing or get him to play.
I think he may have also looked at it and thought, I've 3 to 4 months to save my Liverpool career.
Probably,
you know, and great. Because that's what they all should have.
Klopp's not into politics either. Klopp is just going, I love you all, basically, right?
Yeah.
And he's going, I don't care if Rogers bought you or the committee bought you.
He loves them all if they put it in.
He'll bomb 8 of them out.
Yeah. Yeah, like, look at what happened to Benteke in the sideline. There was a lot of sympathy thrown his way when he had a bollocking and all, and it shouldn't have been done in public and all that. But we don't know how many times Klopp has had words on him.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's pissed off at him. And it's the exact same with Balotelli for Liverpool last year. He was just not listening.
Yeah, told him to do something 20 times.
Job,
yeah.
You're asked over and over again. Everybody there seems to be doing what's being asked of Klopp.
Yeah.
And he's only falling out with really Benteke.
Mm. And Enrique.
But Enrique's just a...
Enrique doesn't even realise that Rodgers is gone.
There's people who don't listen to him, and then there's people who can't do what he's asking him to do, right? So the people who don't listen to him, to me, the people that always get the ball against are Jordan Ibe, Benteke, Marino always gets it, and Milner did at the beginning.
Yeah,
got it. But now you can see the players that listen to him and are able to do it, they're the players that are playing. So that's why Lallana's looking good. Yeah. That's why Emery Khan will be the first person that plays in midfield next year, and Henderson and Milner may not.
Yeah. And interesting to see that, despite us harping on about it all last season about Chan carrying a few extra pounds, he was. It's a fact now. Come out that he was overweight, and now lately he's trimmed down, and it's no coincidence that it's in his performance.
I think he's
just that type of player. Like, I don't think he's at home eating burgers or anything like that.
He just has to be very careful with his nutrition.
I'd say he finds it hard to stay lean.
Yeah, and Klopp came out and said Moreno was his best game that he's had since he came to the club.
That was a week after he was saying that something was tactically wrong. So it was the old arm around the shoulder after giving it a
but you know what it was. He did have a decent game at the weekend. He didn't really get slaughtered from a defensive point of view at any point.
They didn't really give us much to.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he's better. He was better going forward, and I think that makes Moreno look a lot better.
Yeah. Smashing one.
Look, if Liverpool end up being that team that Klopp is trying to did under at the moment, I don't think we're going to have a huge problem with Moreno.
No.
You know, because we'll scare the shits out of teams. They won't kind of load us, like, yeah, you know, down. Yeah. They won't be throwing balls.
And if you look at the players he's looking to buy for the midfield, you know, we'll link to that Zielinski guy,
yeah,
and this Mahmoud Dahoud, which, yeah, has to be, yeah, a
Phil
name,
knows, right, a lot, yeah, about him. So we'll actually refer to Phil in a few minutes.
He was brilliant in the Estonian tour division.
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah.
With the Estonian fella?
Yeah, when, yeah, he was 15. He, yeah, was unbelievable.
But all those, yeah, three guys are basically like Emery Can, which is their box-to-box, you know, high, mm, energy. So imagine having three, I'm not saying it'll be those three, but three like that, and Henderson to rotate.
That is, yeah, is more like Allen. If you get me, he's not physical.
He's not as physical, but, yeah, he's good at ball recovery and stuff
more
like
about
that. Yeah,
controlling and so on.
Is he a Turkish German again, or
he's Syrian as well?
Syrian. I don't know anything about him.
No, he's Syrian. Like, yeah. Again, this is his breakthrough season. Yeah. So he's also been in out of the Gladbach team. Like, bar everything that's going on, he's not a constant fixture. They have taken him out when his form has dipped a bit, and then, yeah, they put him back.
Who
in.
Plays alongside Xhaka normally?
Well, they've used Nordvoit in there as well, and who's had a very good season.
Who's likely to go as well, right? So actually, yeah, Nordvoit,
interestingly, Nordvoit, out of, like, if you're looking at them in terms of what we've been looking for, comes from playing right back, centre half, or defensive midfielder, and has obviously been playing in that Gladbach side where they pass the ball really quickly through midfield. So, you know, he would, if that came out,
he's probably half the price of Xhaka now, because Xhaka's stock, yeah, in the last 3 months.
So let's just detour a minute into that midfield, right? Because I'm not getting who's going, right? So if you buy, so Grujic is coming, right? He's, yeah, the central midfield player.
We already have,
yeah, Zielinski's very heavily linked, and now this
Dahoud, he's linking himself as well.
Well, this, yeah,
he said
guy,
he's spoken to him.
So let's say we're looking at three. I would probably, and then the suggestion is we might actually look for a more defensive midfielder. Mm-hmm. So let's say we sign three midfielders. Who's going? So Lucas goes, Allen goes.
I think Lucas goes, Allen goes, and it will not surprise me
if Henderson goes.
I don't think Henderson's going anyway this summer.
I think Klopp wants to see him when the injury is sorted.
Yeah, but he's finished it.
I think if the injury can be sorted, I think Klopp wants to see him, and I think he'll be an excellent member.
So he's
of
just
that
looking
squad.
For a big, like, more.
Yeah, I think he's looking at it
because he's got Stewart.
We're only talking about links here. Like, you know, chances are might buy a player for midfield.
Yeah, he's already got.
He's already bought him. So
yeah, I think we need two. We need someone to play in the centre, and we probably need a defensive midfielder. So kind of another box to box and a defensive mid.
Yeah,
I don't know. You've got two positions there.
If Dahoud will move this summer, unless it's
like you're saying there, it'd be very hard to think. Gladbach aren't a stupid side, you know. So unless they have a couple of like what's his name off Munich, the defensive midfielder, young lad, he only just went to Munich this season. Oh Christ, it'll come to me now in a second. But he was with Leverkusen, I think.
Oh, not Cram.
No. Anyway, it'll come back to me now in a minute. But unless they have someone like that lined up, you would think it's very hard that they're going to let Dahoud go, Xhaka go.
They won't be able to turn down the money. They're a mid-table side. I mean, if you go in and offer 20 million...
Champions League this year.
Yeah, but they won't be next season. They're a mid-table side.
What they've always done is they've sold off the best players at the end of each season.
Yeah, so if you go in for 20 million, they'll get him. Like Arsenal won't buy Xhaka either.
City might, and it wouldn't surprise me if City signed him, and it wouldn't surprise me if City went in for Dahoud as well, but I think he'll stay another season in the Bundesliga before he goes anywhere.
He'd get a full season,
which is why I think we're linked with Zielinski, because if you're looking at the style of players, they're very similar. So if I think it'd be one of those two. If we sign Zielinski, I can't see us signing Dahoud as well.
Maybe.
So it could be a case that we are,
and they're both kind of similar to what Sahin did in the Dortmund system.
Listen, why don't we sign a Nabil Fekir? That's all I want to know. Okay, that's all I care about.
Right, lads. Look, let's move on to the. Obviously,
we're still getting the Larmendi.
Oh man, I still love him.
Come here. Right, look.
How good was Shaqiri on the weekend, though?
Yeah. We really missed the trick
Phil
there.
Was like, you know.
I remember people having epic meltdowns over that.
Him going to Inter instead of us.
Oh man, like. Yeah. You'd swear like the club just haven't the breeze what they're doing. Like they're just going
picking random pogs out.
Like he's, but in fairness, look at my second.
Who'd you get?
No, there is
who'd you get? I got Markovic. You pick one pog and it's a player, and then you pick the other pog and it shows you how much you're going to pay for
I'm not saying like every other alternative is being better than that, but like It wasn't worth the meltdown.
Yeah.
He's a little fat shite that goes around the pitch and does a few nice things here and there.
Yeah. But also look at, I mean, players' form goes up and down. Look at Lovren.
Yeah.
You know, if you take a straw poll at the beginning of the season, who would sell Dejan Lovren, right? Everyone would have said so.
Pretty much.
And now, he's our best defender.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, let's
look, let's not be concerned about a player who Stoke were able to get.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he wasn't wanted
he's
by
playing
the
for
the world of football.
Exactly. Right, so look, let's move on to the Dortmund game, since we've only talked about the Dortmund game for the last whatever it was. But, right, so this is it.
This is it.
Like, this is our route to Champions League football next year. It's 1-1. We're back in Anfield. We mightn't have the electric guitar to get the crowd going.
No, but we've got the 12th man and the amazing atmosphere.
Yep, the legendary atmosphere that it is. Yeah. But how dangerous is this match in terms of, like, we obviously we could sit back and wait for them to come at us in Dortmund. But
listen, I suppose all I can say is that I believe.
I believe that.
I believe that we.
I believe that we can.
I believe that we can win.
Okay.
Eric and MLS side. They're there. The crowd are all there. And there's this banker. It's like, "Oi!" And the other half of the crowd go, "Oi!" And they go, I believe. I believe that we can win. I believe that we can.
I didn't see that at all.
Did you not?
No, I only see it there.
Hang on,
I only see it fucking.
Mongols.
We'll sing it over here. We'll sing it over there.
The way you sang it then, it sounds like Step in Time from Mary Poppins or something.
It's just terrible. It's just terrible.
Do you remember the New York Red Bulls and New York City were throwing chairs at each other and all and going, "Who are you?"
Yeah. They're firms. It's in your headphones. Take it out, Jake. USA.
It's a, the whole thing is
cunts. Absolute cunts.
I believe that we will win.
I believe we can score our goal. I believe that we can get our goal.
Believe all you want, you're still going to get bounced.
I believe we can kick the ball at the goal.
I believe that we can kick the ball and it might go in. I believe that we have missed.
Fuck's sake.
They're cunts. They're fucking cunts.
But, alright, so anyway, on to the storm again. Right, so Dave, how are we doing this? Who do we start?
I mean, I think he's got a lot of big, not a lot of big decisions, but his forward line is a big decision. Yeah. I mean, personally, I personally would start Origi, Firmino, Coutinho, and I would have Sturridge on the bench.
Mm.
Personally, because I don't think the game is actually going to be any different than the game in Dortmund. Mm. I don't think just because it's at Anfield, you know, that suddenly Dortmund, you know, I think we look like we'd beat them with that system. We look like we'd beat them with that formation. But, you know, if that was the case, Sturridge would, you know, would have a right to think that, you know, feel very hard done by. Lallana would have a legitimate cause to feel very hard done by. So he might start Lallana rather than Firmino, because Firmino wasn't great on Saturday. So I honestly don't know. But if it was me, I would start Firmino, Coutinho and Origi.
Andy?
What would I do?
Yeah,
no, it's a real tough one. And for the first time, like, in a long time, you have a manager that sort of, you can't kind of guess
what he's going to do.
Because there's a lot of players there who deserve to probably come in on merit and deserve to come in on ability. And there's going to be players that miss out and they will feel hard done by because they perform. But isn't that what the sign of a good team?
Yeah.
I don't want to say who I'd like to play. I just want to let Klopp pick that team and trust them.
Yeah, but what would you pick?
What would I pick?
Yeah. not about saying Klopp's wrong, but like
my opinion can only be influenced by the chances that Klopp has given Origi. Of course, would have never started Origi, only Klopp has shown faith in him. Yeah. So why all of a sudden would I turn around now and say start Sturridge ahead of him?
Would you play Ojo?
But if you're asking me this question, both. If you're asking me this question, like I just landed down and a piece of paper in front of you with all the names and I hadn't seen the performances in the last few weeks, of course you're going to say Sturridge.
Yeah.
But like, Origi's up there now.
But would you play on both?
He's on form.
Yeah, like
no, he wouldn't. I don't think so. No,
I don't think he will. But
I don't think he will. But I think there's a call as to why you might, because you might decide that the best way to, you know, compete with Dortmund's attack is to put them on the back foot, and the best we've seen out of Sturridge at any point in his Liverpool career has been when there's another striker playing alongside him, and he doesn't have to occupy both centre halves himself. So. By playing Origi and Sturridge together, you do gain more out of both of them.
So let's work back this. And I don't think he will, but let's hypothetically say he starts with Sturridge and Origi. I assume he's playing some sort of diamond.
Yeah, well, no, I don't even know about a diamond. I think you would nearly maybe go... let's call it a diamond. Let's call it a narrow diamond or whatever. Yeah. So you're going to probably play Chan at the base of it. Allen and Milner either side of it with Coutinho in front of us.
So
Lallana and Firmino do miss out. Yeah. You know, so, if you're going to play those two up top.
So you're probably looking at a kind of a toss up between Firmino, Sturridge and Lallana for that one last spot in the game.
And you might just surprise us all and leave Origi on the bench, you know.
The reason I think he won't do it is I don't think Sturridge will put the work in that he's going to need.
That's why I'm thinking the two up top gives him the reason to have his most potent goal threat on, plus the player that can stretch their defence. Coutinho, the ability to... it was mentioned last week on the pod in terms of the Spurs game, but Sturridge's little ball for Coutinho for that goal is just the link up and the understanding that those two players have together. And the best times we've ever seen it is... One of the problems that Sturridge has had has been that he has got those two defenders occupying him the whole time. So it is harder for those little through balls that Coutinho would love to play to him. And I think if you had Origi there, I'm not saying that it will happen. I probably think it won't happen. But I think there's a legitimate reason as to why he might go with two.
No harm having him to spring off the bench if you need it.
Oh, look, it's great to have options. I mean, Christ, if I feel like for 2 years squad. We've had no options.
This game has to be treated very seriously. Like, it really is the biggest game.
All season.
In a good while, since the league gets old, that's kind of the biggest game.
If we beat Dortmund, that's a fucking huge result.
Yeah. Sevilla, they have a great record in this competition, and that can give you a bit of a lift as a club, but they're really faltering in the league. Mm-hmm. They're no better than us, really.
Is that who we get, Sevilla, is it?
No, I'm just saying they're one of the last four. And who else?
But last week I was very fearful of Dortmund and I didn't think we had any chance. Well, there's a minor chance of going through. After seeing last week of, I believe.
Do you believe
that? I believe we can. So,
you believe we can win?
Yeah. I believe that we can win.
So, go with some similar setup to... to last week, but then Klopp. Let's hope Klopp can out tactic them again. And
how much of this relies on the approach Dortmund take to the game?
It's massive. Dortmund still are the team that have scored 115 goals. They could come out and slaughter us.
They could come and just want to score loads of goals and score loads of goals, or else they could just come to Anfield like we kind of went to them and sat back a bit and just be patient about the game, because they don't need to be going mad. Like, I think there is a quality they can spring. At any time.
I think there is a nervousness from them, though, because they know, like, those players, the vast majority of them know how good Klopp was. They know, they've worked with him day in, day out. They know his ability to find weaknesses in other teams. It's what he did for them, you know, as a club and for them as players to point out. So they're in their own mind, even probably from a psychoanalysis point of view. I know we're getting a bit fucking deep here, but they probably have it in the back of their mind. He fucking knows everything about me. He has them fucking, and everything they go to do. And his little changes in shape and his little change in the way we play, that will
put something in their mind where they go, he knows our plan A, so we've got to come up with a plan B, which disrupts everything. Because you're going, we've got to play differently now. But look, they're a better side than us, right?
Yeah.
By a significant amount. But they are weak at the back, right? Which is probably in our squad where we are the strongest right now is, you know, in our attacking threat. So I don't think the away goal is going to matter because I think they'll score.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to come down to who scores the most on the night.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality. Mm-hmm. And we've got a, you know, we've got a good chance of that being us with the players that we have available.
If given that we do have the away goal, right, I suppose it's at least, that's one massive thing that we have. Like they, if, a nil-all draw sends us through.
Mm. But which is it's not a massive thing because there is no way it's a nil-all.
No, you know what? We absolutely needed to score away. It's just prevented a problem.
Yeah.
But it hasn't given us some.
We come away with a 2-1 win. It's better. But what I mean by that is you come away with the 2 away goals. I don't see us conceding 3 at Anfield.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so even if it had been 2-all in Dortmund, I think we might have been better off.
Yeah, it just negates the risk of them nicking it 1-0. Yeah. So they can't do that. Well, actually, if they won 1-0, they go through. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Them going through on away goals, that makes that more unlikely.
Us getting a goal and them getting a late equaliser and knocking us out is gone.
Exactly. Yeah.
I suppose the one thing, though, like when you look at how they approached their game at the weekend, and they, like us, they left a lot. They basically left their top players on the thing while playing their local derby with a chance of winning the league. Just shows you how high they're the level of importance they're putting into.
Yeah, this match. They like most European clubs. They view the Europa as a very
biscuits.
fuck off.
There's biscuits there. Get one.
Get us the biscuits. What a cock. Like most European sides, they do view the Europa as a very important competition. So, you know, part of me wondered whether Klopp looking like, had he already given the club or had he already given the team sheet in advance of Dortmund kicking off, or in advance of Dortmund naming their team 2.5 hours earlier before our kickoff, you know, more. Even.
Well, he said, I think he would have played the same side. I think he was probably hoping that Dortmund went strong in the Schalke game, and that would give him a small advantage. Now, I think they rested their front three, basically, right? They
Royce, the Mkhitaryan, and Nova.
Gundogan was back.
Yeah, he was
on the bench as well.
And Hummels was rested as well, was he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although Hummels was poor, I thought, in the first game.
And then they brought Borky back in, obviously, but Weidenfeller is their second choice, so.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a second choice as good as Weidenfeller.
Mm.
Yeah. I'd love to have a first choice as good as Weidenfeller. For fuck's sake.
Look, it's going to be tight, lads, and it's a very, very tough game.
We hope
game.
It's going to be tight.
It's a very tough game. You know, the only thing you can hope is that, I think, a little bit like maybe, and I don't want to draw too many comparisons, but Rafa in his first season, Klopp is maybe a little better right now on one-off games and not having to worry too much about squad rotations and players' future and all that kind of stuff. He's just going to focus on his game. The league's fucked. I mean, we're not going to get top four there. In fact, if we don't win the Europa, I hope we finished eighth so we don't get the Europa League next year.
I want to win the Europa purely because we can get into the Champions League.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying.
We've got to be knocked out of every FA Cup and league.
But to be honest with you,
and no Europa League, we could.
I think, I think with no
Europa
League,
Europa's been good to us this year. Like, getting the stuff United and playing Dortmund.
It has. But I just think, and it's not that I don't like the Europa League. Any other year, I'd be saying it. But with Klopp's first full season in charge, if we're not in the Champions League, him having a season like Rodgers did to just concentrate and have his week to work on, you know, what he wants to do is a tough, in depth change in the way we play football, and it's going to be even more of a change from the way we're playing now to the way he actually wants us playing.
Okay, I'm on it as well. Yeah. Is there?
Do we win, time. Steve-O? Do we win?
Yeah.
What's
going on? By a goal,
Andy.
I believe we win. I hope you had to stop doing that. Yeah.
Is that going to replace you never walking on the car?
I think it's going to be
one
all after 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And then Liverpool win in extra time.
As we do.
You should put a bet on that.
Dave?
Oh, we'll win. I mean, I think I said on last week's pod that I think we'll win the whole thing. Yeah. So I think we'll win. I actually don't think it'll go to extra time. I think we'll win in regulation time.
Regulation time.
He's bleeding dopes.
Klopp watch.
Huh?
Klopp watch. Just a couple of things.
Yeah,
he's deadly, isn't he? Did you see him with the Mark Hughes? Ooh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And your man on the bench was so pissing himself laughing. He was like, you can say what you want, Klopp's a funny cunt.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, suits you, sir.
Did you see Mark Hughes like sulking for the entire second half? Like, you know, his head down, arms crossed. He's not even watching the game. Yeah. Like, you know, Klopp beat him as well.
Yeah.
Klopp beat him.
That was brilliant. What's the other bit? That's it.
There's a video of him where he knocks a microphone over in his press conference and stuff. Then that's pretty funny. Because he starts slagging the journalist off, and obviously everyone else is pissing themselves at the journalist.
Is that it for
did he do the microphone drop on purpose? Like,
no.
like Eminem. Yeah. Mic drop. I'm out. Yeah. Peace out.
I know, you know, as good as well. I know he does it against every opposition, but the picture of him standing watching the warm up in Dortmund.
Yeah.
I like how that's starting to annoy people now. Like, you know, people from other clubs, like journalists or fans of other clubs. Look at him fucking standing there for 15
minutes. Oh, you know what's really getting up fucking opposition fans' noses is the thing with Mark Hughes, is him being over animated on the sideline.
Yeah,
and they're trying to say he's being disrespectful and all that. There he goes, bananas.
Yeah,
at the referees and the assistant referees, but he's yet to even be threatened to be sent into the stand.
But Hughes was glowing about him afterwards.
Was he?
Like, when everything calmed down, Hughes was saying things like, "There's a real good energy around Liverpool right now, and that's because of Klopp and because of the impact he's made."
It's not like he
came out after the game and said he's a wanker. Fucking
He did go. He didn't go full Pardew or
Allardyce. Yeah,
full Pardew.
All right then, who are we playing the weekend?
Yeah, we are playing Bournemouth.
All right, do we win that one?
Yeah, I think we do. Yeah, regardless, I think we're building up ahead of steam now, and I think that Stoke game is an example of that. Yeah. I think the likes
plus
of Stewart
managed
and
by
Ojo,
a YTS boy, I think we'll fucking kill him. Like, you know?
Yeah, no, I think the likes of Ojo and Stewart and people like that come back in again.
Yeah.
If Firmino and Lallana are left out, they come in. You know,
because a double game week, Everton.
We've Everton on next Wednesday, but we'll have recorded before that again.
Yeah. Not what I'm saying is like there'd be an argument to rest players.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay, lads, that'll wrap. So on to Trippers chats. Din, din, din.
Oh, I'm Ronnie Whelan.
Fuck off!
Fuck, you're not Ronnie Whelan, you prick.
We're playing for Liverpool, no good shit, Sherlock.
Ladies.
Yeah. Oh, whatever your players like, the other fella and your man. And
your man!
Yeah.
Biggest Irish thing ever.
Really real Shepherd chats, yeah.
Right, first one in from Cy Fornival. What's the biggest animal you could throw up a crossbar?
Depends how big the crossbar it is, really.
How high is the crossbar? Standard.
Yeah, standard crossbar.
Oh, I was thinking on your bike.
Depends where he wants a lift to. You're not going down the shops, are you? Yeah, no, jump on there.
Give the crossbar, will you?
Or maybe he does.
Sorry, Mr. Hippo. Where are you going? You're going to the spa. Come on, jump on.
Home. An Alsatian. Something about that size, I reckon. Because my standard, I can touch 8 foot standing up.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
That's the ceiling height.
Yeah, I can touch
ceiling. You can touch that ceiling. Not that ceiling. That ceiling's lower. That ceiling down there.
I can touch 8 foot. So
that's not a real ceiling.
It is. It's 8 foot.
It's not a real ceiling.
That's just overly suspended.
Yeah, I just need something like this. Basically, hoosh. I just need to hoosh it over.
You're bigger than an Alsatian, you pussy.
I don't know. I'm not very strong.
But no, because you're pressing it.
Yeah. Like, it's up, it's already up above your head, so you then have to get it an extra foot over that bar.
So you have to lift it above your head, then put it over the bar. Someone's not going to put it on your hand.
No.
Like, you could do it the Scottish way, swinging
it like a fucking. Swing it like a. What's that thing fucking in the Olympics?
Yeah.
The hammer throw. Yeah. Don't think the Alsatian would like that too much.
Fuck it, who's he going to tell?
Yeah. Fuck off.
You're going over that crossbar, what do you like?
I think an Alsatian.
You'd be in a curry afterwards, innit?
Alsatians are big fuckers as well.
Why the blind people like.
Good joke, yeah, no, yeah.
Why the blind.
It's like that quality joke, why do blind people. Don't know, actually.
Why don't blind people's guide oil scares the shit out of dog? That not good enough. Fuck you.
It might have been that you remembered it first time.
I have to think of it.
Right, Owen asks, Andy, what's your favourite toilet roll and why?
What brand? Dandrix, obviously.
And why?
I don't know. It's just
they, obviously.
Yeah. They got all the puppies and all at you.
Yes. Well, there's a balance to be had between absorbency and thickness.
See? Yeah.
Because if it's too thick, it won't flush. Yeah. And that's just
and too fluffy
for everyone.
Shiny.
You know what I mean?
Where it doesn't actually.
Well, you don't want it to be too thin because then you got.
Kitten
like,
soft is a decent. Yeah. Kitten soft's a decent.
Whatever
we've
it is.
We've had them work.
It's like double ply, not quilted. Because if it's quilted, it's too thick. It's like kitchen.
Ah, yeah. No, it doesn't absorb.
No. And you can't flush it. Yeah. And then you have to leave it there for the next guy.
But at least 3 or 4 sheets.
Yeah. Are you watching Better Call Saul? Where he's trying to get fired from the law office and he stops flushing after number 2.
Yeah.
I've only watched the first 2 or 3 episodes and I have all the rest of it to watch there.
Oh, that's very good.
Right, Dojo de Mofo asks, this could be an interesting one. What's the best strategy for putting on a duvet cover? He said he's like Sacco, limbs everywhere.
Ah, I've a deadly one.
Okay, I have a good one myself. So go ahead, Andy.
Well, the only way to do it.
We've had this question. I'm sure we've had, because you're about to give an answer that I'm sure I've heard.
No, just your dreams, man.
You turn the duvet cover inside out and you grab the corners and then you just do it. But actually, I've seen some quality videos on the likes of Facebook and all where it shows you a way that they do it in the hotels where they kind of lie the sheet down underneath and put the quilt over and then they just do this magic trick and just...
was that in Hogwarts by any chance?
No, but it's amazing. They're kind of rolling it, and next thing you know,
Uranium
Quiltavo.
I'm sure we've had this question. As someone was saying, they climbed into it. I'm sure we've had the
I get into my duvet, and then I pull the cover over me, and then I lock her in, and I just go to sleep. Yeah, it's a cunt to get out in the morning.
It was you. That's what it was. Yeah.
And
when you wake up in a panic at night,
you lie down.
Fuck's sake. Answer it there. Answer it. See who it is.
That's not you never walking on.
You're a lime prick.
You're a spoofer, you are.
Spoofer.
You lie a sheet down on the bed, and then you put the duvet cover, the duvet itself, over it.
Now, the duvet cover.
Yeah, the sheet's not involved.
Why is he saying sheet?
The duvet cover lies down.
Okay.
Then the duvet itself is just straight on top of it. And then you go to the far end, which would be up at your neck, like when you're sleeping, and you roll from there. Right? So then when it's in the big rolly thing, you just flip it inside out, and then you pull from the end, which is the end part, and you just throw it up to the top of the bed. And it's in it. Like, it's amazing.
I'm going to check that out later, because the way you explained
that's
it
just
was
ridiculous.
Terrible.
Because there's no part of that where you put the duvet in.
You don't have to.
It's a magic trick.
You're just turning it inside out with it all rolled up.
So it's in it.
And when you're at the end, because you've rolled up to the end, it's inside it.
Yeah. So what you do is you turn the duvet cover inside out, and then lay it down on the bed. So it's already inside out when you lay it down. Then you get the duvet and roll it into the duvet cover, right? And then when you flick it, the inside out duvet is jiggity do.
Fuck you.
Makes perfect sense to me.
It could revolutionise duvet insertion.
But the corner the corner thing, which is what I do, takes like 5 seconds, right?
So it's ridiculously
how much more
quick.
That sounds
so. To answer his question, if he's like
Sacco, the most annoying part is the buttony part, though. And you're buttoning it up. It seems to take forever to get.
I like to race myself.
One set, so
I
didn't
always miss one.
Yeah,
you're always going to go back. Fuck.
What's next?
Right, next one up. If you had to move to a non-English speaking country to live and work in, what country would you choose?
Ireland.
Yeah.
There we go.
You got there ahead of me. I was going to say Wales.
I don't know.
I can feel it. If I was going to move to a non-English speaking country to work and live, maybe Germany. Mm-hmm. I do like their whole system and setup, and
it works.
They're fairly proficient.
Yep.
Andy.
Then again, I might go to the Caymans.
Yeah, I think Germany is like is a toned down America. They can already have everything in America. Mm. They seem to have it nailed on about infrastructure and
they're just better at doing it in.
But I think
in Germany
it's just a toned down non-asshole
version.
Yeah. So Germany, from a kind of a living a normal life perspective, yeah. But if you won the lotto and you had the choice of anywhere, well, then you're in the Caribbean, and you're fucking going around
French Polynesia or something like that.
Singapore.
Yeah, good show, actually. That's a great show.
That's the best.
I forgot about Far East Asia and likes of Hong Kong or Singapore. Right,
have
awesome
you been to
well.
Singapore?
No.
What's the crack there?
It's got the highest standard of living in the world. So it's the best healthcare system, best transport system, best banking system, you know, best education system. So it's got a lot of
good things of shit going on.
That's all real stuff. Mm. Yeah, real important stuff.
Important stuff.
Life, but if you wonder, like, if you know, if you had loads of money and you had that choice, like, it wouldn't really matter.
But it has a lot of, you know, expat businesses there as well. So, you know, even just to get a...
What do you think the boy would be like living as a rich person?
I think it'd be enjoyable. No, well, you're going out and working tax-free. I know a couple of people living out. I don't mind that heat.
It's very unbearable. It's, like, unbearable for 3 or 4 months of the year, like, in terms of heat.
Well, you're coming out of your air-conditioned house, you're getting into your air-conditioned car and going to your air-conditioned job.
Yeah, so, but you're still in a part of a world that socially is, like, you know, decades behind.
Yeah, it is. Like, I thought about that recently because I was sort of, you know, sort of thinking, you know, in the next 10 years or whatever, where are places to go, maybe? And I suppose Dubai and places like that, like, how much do you go to the pub? How much do you actually... So the one or two nights you want to go a month or whatever it is, as you get that bit older, like, you can do those sort of things in Dubai. It's just not the sort of place to go on the piss on a Wednesday with a lot, you know what I mean? Like that. Yeah. It's not fucking, you're not going to have, what you call, Dicey's. There's not going to be a Dubai version of Dicey's with everybody.
Probably,
you
know, probably is.
It's probably better.
Yeah, but they're
they probably recreate it brick by brick in the Irish corner in Dubai.
Last one. Right, so.
Is this the last one?
Yeah, Guns of Popcorn asks, are lobsters to mermaids what scorpions are to humans?
Well, mermaids are fictional.
So are lobsters.
So in other words, it's like, is it a lobster just a swimming scorpion?
Yeah.
No, because it doesn't have the sting.
No, it only has clippers, doesn't it?
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I wouldn't like to be clipped by the clippers, but you know that the lobster,
stingray be more of
a lobster is the only, I think, the only animal in the world, but definitely the only one in the sea that has
a lobster.
No, it has. It'll live forever without predators, basically.
So it just doesn't.
It's immortal,
to an extent.
That is fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, seriously. if you chop a lobster's claw, if he just grows a new one.
Don't they mate for life as well?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
That's fucking mad, isn't it? Like, how you could chop your leg off and it's just
grow. They only ever have one woman and they have to live with that woman forever.
Yeah.
That's why they have predators. They actually openly flash themselves after a few years.
Please eat me.
they actually crawl up to the restaurants these days. They don't even have to catch them. It's just like, I've had enough.
Yeah, yeah, no, she's doing my fucking head in. Someone stick me in a pot, will you?
Get the pot on. I'm on my way.
Fuck.
Lobster suicide.
Woo! I've had 300 fucking years of it. I'm coming. Seriously.
Get the garlic butter made.
So, like, I assume by that you're saying that there's a lobster somewhere that's
lobsters don't die of natural causes.
So there's a lobster somewhere that's just alive forever now.
How does anyone know that?
Because, like, if you have a lobster in captivity and there's no predators, that lobster's going to outlive everybody.
He will
forever.
If he doesn't get picked out of the tank to be eaten.
He won't be, though, if he's living in captivity.
Do you mean in a natural environment, though, probably?
If you had a lobster in the zoo, it's going to be safe forever.
Forever.
Just keep living there.
They can't die from natural causes.
How does anyone know that, though?
Because there's no part of them to
stop. Lobster cancer.
No lobster. There was a small dose of lobster AIDS, but they got it sorted. So,
well, you know, it makes you think. I wonder if there's actually any such thing as natural causes. Like, what is natural?
Natural causes is just a nice way of saying you're old, or
yeah, but you die of something, though, right?
Of course, all your cells are deteriorating, so therefore your skin and your organs deteriorate.
It's actually two genes. So if a lobster
is fucking reproducing legs and claws and everything else, it's obviously reproduces cells. And
everything. Yeah, but we reproduce
there's
cells.
There's a certain two things.
Yeah, but not full on legs and clippers.
No, there's these two DNA bits. That
very scientific. Yeah, couple of DNA bits.
A couple of DNA bits there that eventually.
If you had a farm of lobsters in your backyard and in a big pond out your back, they could feed you forever. You just eat a fucking lobster leg and you grow a new one. And you just keep eating them, and when the other fella's one is growing back.
How many lobsters you got at the back now?
300,000.
Because
how long does it take for the lobster to regrow?
That's the question, right? Because then you could start thinking about how many you'd need.
And is there any part of the lobster?
You need a few legs though. Plus, one leg
and actually, if the predator eats the lobster,
it'd be like Scary Movie, because the lobster would have one giant claw and one little,
I'm sure he leaves a little bit.
Claw.
Why doesn't he grow back?
Yeah, like if the crocodile came over and just nom and took it. Just out his head and his shoulders, deltas, his waist. Would you not have a little bit of lobster?
Why would the crocodile be a predator for a lobster?
Because crocodiles love lobster.
How would they cross paths? Where would the crocodile be?
It's well known.
The Florida Keys are renowned for lobsters and crocodiles. Alligators love them.
So the crocodiles
are changed my mind.
Goes, bum.
Nom.
And it just leaves a lobster
just
tail.
Antenna.
And then there's a lobster tail just like aimlessly floating around the water, and eventually, boom. And do you reckon that lobster would have the same personality then as the last
one?
No, well,
he
can't have an.
He'd probably be more pissed off.
So basically, the lobsters have like a central nervous system. They have a brain and a spine and all that.
They don't have a spine.
They have a brain.
I don't know whether they have a brain. I don't know what actually makes them go, but I just heard that.
Is this a bit off the cuff? Are you just pretending?
I think you made that up. You're saying lobsters.
Because you hear all sorts of shouts like that, like cockroaches can survive a nuclear holocaust and all.
Well, unless we have a nuclear holocaust, how will we ever know? Do you know what I mean?
Because
there's people paid to do weird shit.
Are there lobsters in?
Like, I often wonder, like, you know, we're all working away and everything else, and we've, by hook or by crook, you've ended up in the job area, whether you want it or not. But all these people that are being paid to do research, that baffles me. How is there some wanker, like, out there testing cockroaches to see if they survive a nuclear holocaust? How have they ended up doing that shit? That just always baffles me.
Because they don't want a proper job.
There's people pumping billions into research.
Yeah, but the vast majority of scientific research throughout history started with no practical application. So if you think of things like antibiotics, they didn't design antibiotics by saying, do you know what we should invent?
Antibiotics.
Antibiotics. They were just doing other stuff, and they came across antibiotics or penicillin or pasteurization, all these things that happened. Like, so the... Actually, Neil deGrasse Tyson does a great speech on this, because he talks about why funding for space exploration shouldn't be cut, because he's like, you can't predict what we're going to discover by doing
There's one thing, like, you know, you see what's going on up at the International Space Station, and there was a program on it a while ago, and they'll send up something like a bit of stone or something, right, and they start doing mad stuff with the stone, and like that costs money, that costs millions. Billions
to piss around with a stone
that could feed people that are hungry.
Yeah,
but nobody gives a bollocks. We'll just pretend. We'll just fuck around with a stone in space. And you starve there, me all.
Listen, I agree. The project.
Don't you worry, you're only third world countries, fuck off with your hunger, we're playing with a stone.
I personally would cut funding the project fuck about with a stone in space. I would cut funding for that, you know.
But
research,
I know you've no water, I know you're travelling, like you're walking 30 or 40 miles to find a dirty pond to drink out of, but fuck you,
you're playing with a stone in space.
The stone needs space. Research. We need to research the stone. So
to be serious, to take your example, right? So studying stones in space or Earth and outer space, right? It's about seeing what minerals and that will grow in inhospitable environments, which is about potentially 30 years from now. Surely, saying, here's how we can grow food in the desert to feed all the people that are starving.
Surely one of the reasons that...
You lick the stone.
Suck the stone. There's loads of nutrients in the stone. Suck on it. Surely one of the reasons why world hunger hasn't actually been dealt with is because we need nearly another fucking planet that's hospitable before we can actually allow everybody here to live. We need the death toll to keep on going as it is. In order to, because we won't have enough food.
Okay.
We don't have enough food.
Okay, on that enjoyable note.
So what I'm saying is it's a conspiracy, and they're killing those poor third world people on purpose.
Because they want to play with the stone in space.
Yeah. Not because they want to play with the stone in space, because they don't want everybody to
just
live.
To wrap it all up, lobsters aren't scorpions, they're mermaids.
Ta-da!
No, that's the answer.
It's the outro. Bit of grooves.
Traveling in a fried out combi.
Can't beat an out tune to say good evening.
On a hippie trail hat full of zombie.
and an oldie owl mixed up as well.
I met a strange lady, she made me nervous.
The cake is still here from November.
She took me in and gave me breakfast. She said, do you come from a land down under?
So anyway, look, big thanks again to the lads in Astro Park who let us do the show week in, week out. Why the fuck yous all listening, having a clue? But if yous are in Dublin, or if you live in Dublin and you want to get down and play some five-a-side football, tell Del that we sent you, and I'm sure he'll give you a bit of a discount. So yeah, get on down to Astro Park and check them out on www.astropark.ie. Take cover indeed. What have we got to plug? Oh yeah, so Molson didn't come through. Load of me bollocks, lads. Sort it out. So this week we'll plug Bundaberg Rum. I'm halfway through a bottle at the moment. So Bundaberg, if you're listening, lash us on a fucking big freebie as well. I won't say no to a nice old Bundaberg Rum. Made it with the boys in the bunker. And if you want us to plug anything, like, send us free shit and we'll definitely plug it for you. Or if you want to give us money and we'll plug it as well. Just not betting sites, because no, not them. Or just random shit. We're not doing that shit. Right, your day trippers tonight, they were, of course, the inimitable Andy Young, Mr. Happy himself, Stephen Daly, and of course, the Welsh legend that is Dave Thomas, the most commonsensical man on football, despite all his haters that are out there. Of course, I'm Phil Casey. This has been the Day Trippers. Good evening, good night, God bless. We'll talk to you all next week, same time, same place, or whenever the fuck we choose to do this. Good night.
Over here!